parents, can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to March 24th, 1986, a Monday night at the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll do the first set this episode, and feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 2, Show Number 5, a meditation on the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Monday, March 24th, 1986, The Last Sailor, Set 1. Alabama Getaway. There are 32 teeth in a jawbone, but that's including wisdom teeth, so mileage may vary. Other than laughing gas and life's a gas, what does this have to do with night two at the Spectrum? Damned if we know, but wouldn't it be a treat if tonight had half the energy of last night? What a show that was. Remember, expect a miracle and get served average. The trick is to expect nothing and you can't get hurt. The same goes for life. To put it bluntly, aspire to nothing and receive nothing in return. Not the most positive way to live, but it saves on tissues and heartbreak. Jerry chases Alabama all over the South with some serious revenge on his mind. Christ, we'd hate to see the beating the guy's going to get once he's caught. And although it lacks the B3-fueled Brett intensity of, say, a 79 version, the boys are keeping spirits high. This had to have gotten some serious radio play when they announced the shows on WMMR. You'd drop whatever you were doing to immediately start plotting how, where, and when to set up camp to line up for tickets. Every city's got that one outlet that supposedly punched out the best ones. Ours was in the basement of a department store next to a photo place. The slight, chain-smoking woman manning the booth was always nice about it. She'd deliver the tickets with a smile and a, "Have fun, kids. Wonder how she's doing." She made so many people happy back in the day. Back to the music. Jerry is on a tear. It's a massive free-for-all that ends with a worthy cheer. Let him have it. One in the books. Greatest story ever told. Jerry tries to take us to the promised land, but instead, Bob veers towards the greatest story ever told. Either way, you get plenty of Bible Belt preaching, as these days you're as likely to find a left-handed monkey wrench in your hotel room as a Bible. The guitar as a six-shooter is a woeful analogy for the Grateful Dead, yet Gunslinger Bobby has us reaching for the sky. With hands in the air, we receive the directive from above to proceed at maximum speed. We are caught within a force greater than ourselves, pushed towards an ending we can only hope will be happy. Brent is all over this tune like ants on a tweeter. The tune starts to veer off the edge, but Bob takes the reins and reels it in, barely. And although it sounds as if he's on the verge of losing his voice, he continues, satiating the crowd with a final vocal frenzy. Damn, this was the appetizer? Dire Wolf. The mood stays high with the gleefully singable chorus of "Don't Murder Me." Murder might be the least of a Deadhead's troubles, but hey, we tend to stand out and could still be targeted by a deranged Pet Shop Boys fan. Peppy and Steppy, we frolic in this field like a herd of satyrs. Good energy so far. Now where do we put that lighter? It's about time to heat up to match the vibe this show is bringing. Who the hell doesn't have a lighter at a Dead show? We don't. That's who. We locate one in exchange for some pleasantries and a shared moment or two. Nothing like the city of brotherly love. It's all good here inside the Spectrum, where the good boys and girls play by the rules just to stay alive for one more day. As long as music is in the air, all is under control. Jerry hits a solo hard and belts out some gravelly vocals, but it's nothing a sip of whatever can't cure. We'll drown him out with our own off-key version of the chorus in the quest to ward off evil for at least a few more minutes. Little Red Rooster. All gas, no brakes. The boys refuse to relent, or perhaps they just want to blow through the show as quickly as possible to retire to the hotel and do whatever rockers of their stature tend to do while they're away from the public's prying eye. Little Red Rooster on the prowl, Bobby in sheep's clothing, the slide guitar his fleece. Although this song is more about feathers and chickens and ruffled hens in the henhouse, we should have learned our lesson back there in Hampton. That rooster caused quite the scene. Speaking of a scene, maybe Brent is the rooster. He is on fire tonight. Damn, son. roasted and toasted with a side of potatoes. He's definitely earned those wings, just in time to be plucked, fried, and dipped in a hot cayenne pepper sauce. Yum. Short on imagery, we seem to have blown our load down south, which gives us the opportunity to focus on the present. First, we get a bobslide fest, followed by some masterful Garcia blues. It slices and dices us up and lays us out on the barbecue. The main course is served. Call it straightforward rock and roll, sans asterisk, or window dressing. And behold your musical history, citizens of America. It ain't all top 40. It's sexy and gritty and nasty and horny, with pinches of salt, pepper, and an assortment of spices to get everything just right. It comes from a place of sex, of longing, and of primal urges best left to the pros. Rooster is the first song tonight to exceed 5 minutes, but it holds the interest of even those suffering from bouts of attention deficiency. Jerry adds a bluesy coda to seal it, and then boldly leads us into some brown-eyed women. Brown-eyed women. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye. But there's no mention of such shenanigans in this tune unless they're talking about your cousin who lives in Kensington. Jerry races out of the barn like a spooked horse and lets it fly. Oh, to be young in the age of going to school in a one-room schoolhouse with a frog in one back pocket and a slingshot in the other, watching friend after friend succumb to polio and other diseases, your teeth rotting out of your jaw due to a basic lack of oral hygiene. Upon further reflection, perhaps it wasn't as wonderful as it seemed. Besides, if you hate studying that much, don't do it. Yet, as a U.S. citizen living in the present day, it is your right to receive proper medical attention. Please strive to be smart enough to seek it. Now back to the story. Ma had 4, 5, and 6 children. She hedged her bets so that at least half would make it past childhood. She needed the insurance because when Daddy's job was shipping and sipping whiskey, you knew the danger could return any time. Jerry himself is no stranger to tragic childhood accidents. How do you think he lost that finger? 9.5 digits or not, his soloing brings a freshness that mirrors the spring. The days will only get longer until winter and snow are but a memory. Here's to the thawing of both the season and our hearts as we head toward the new. We dig the looks like the old man is getting old line, although now comfortably suspended inside the musical fountain of youth, nothing could be farther from the truth. So far, the set is steady, with few complaints and even fewer accolades to bestow. Brother Esau. The physical break we deserve. Not in a negative sense, it's the truth. Brother Esau isn't danceable. It's a place to simply exist, take in the surroundings, exchange pleasantries, or, if the vibe is too heavy, happily part ways and wander through the crowd until you find a group of people sharing a similar aura. A dead show is like being the new kid at school, but instead of the inevitable rejection at lunchtime, your fellow deadheads are more than willing to accommodate someone floating in on imaginary roller skates. This fratricide song is conducive to making new friends. Esau did it, so why can't you? Go ahead, spend your time shadowboxing the apocalypse and wandering the land, searching for that perfect place to plant your flag. Admit that these are your people, and that with you I will stay, at least until the song ends. Ramble on, Rose. Just like New York City, but a couple hours south on the turnpike, we have settled into another fine evening with the Grateful Dead. And if we sound a bit like Uncle Bobo, yes, it was deliberate. Short songs, happy, singable. You'd never believe this is a Monday, with tomorrow night still on the docket. Just like Friday, just like Saturday, maybe, but on a Monday, there is no bigger party in Philadelphia than right here at the Spectrum. And who is better equipped to provide the festivities than the Grateful Dead? No one, that's who. It's precisely why nearly 20,000 of us have gathered on an average Monday in March, the month when nothing really happens, unless you're Irish or Irish adjacent. Then a lot goes down. As the turbulent month of March winds down and prepares us for the more stable April conditions, we find our own dose of normalcy in music, friends, and the pageantry of a dead show. Jerry shepherds time. He leads us towards greener pastures. We are sure of it. The grass grows under our feet with each step. Before long, it has grown so tall that we cannot see anything to our side, in front of us, or behind us. It is a St. Patrick's Day special, and the green is all around us. But don't call it jealousy. Listen to the leader of the band's words. The grass ain't greener. The wine ain't sweeter, either side of the hill. Yes, leader, we agree with you. Taken at face value, we decide the trek is no longer worth it and plunk ourselves down right in the middle of the verdant path, causing a logjam of those who raise to believe the grass is greener and the wine is sweeter if they could just get by this one stubborn fellow intent on blocking their success. We'll accept the blame and let them even trample all over us, but we do not have the heart to tell them that, despite their effort, the same results could have been achieved had they just stopped and taken their time to listen. El Paso. Bobby continues the middle of the road pacing, regardless of who happens to be blocking it. The set has settled in, right into a nice spot out on the porch where a group of foul evil men used to doing foul evil deeds race by. They must be chasing another of the foul evil men who do those foul evil deeds. You almost want to go back into the house, question your living choices, and complain to your wife about the violence. But if you do, she'll be swift to remind you that you are the reason you're here in the first place. She would have been happy back at the old place, but no, you wanted to live here, where the air is clean, the tumbleweeds roll free, and little access to medical attention within a reasonable area. Country life sounds great until, due to age-related issues, the two of you are physically unable to take care of the many tasks necessary to maintain such a lifestyle, including the gardening, the constant repairs, the ever-encroaching weeds that need weeding, and the varmints that need to be culled. The decision was to stay and persevere, but the line may have finally been crossed. With foul evil men and foul evil deeds occurring so near, it may be time to have a look at those living-assisted condominiums your daughter is always sending information about. You see the smoke from the rifles and hear the gallop of horses. Since Bob fails to enunciate the story in a more convincing manner, you will read in the local gazette that the violence was due to an unrequited romance that ended in a hail of bullets and a final kiss that says, "If only you'd asked earlier." Too bad for him, but at least he got out. You finish your beer, walk into the house, and try to remember where you last put your bank book. At least your keys are still hanging on the hook. Bob's been quiet this first set, yet he croons his third tune of the night with conviction and a bit of memory failure, drawing cheers, in 4-4 time, of course. Box of Rain. When they see Phil, they know. When they heard about Hampton, they knew. When tickets for all three nights were in hand, they knew. It was just a question of when, not if, and certainly not where. Philly is the place to do it. No one cares about next time, whether it's Portland, Providence, or Hartford. No one knows how to do it like Philadelphia, and they will be the first ones to let you know. Right now, they're about to let the band, the out-of-towners, and those who will listen to the tape a half century later know. Now becomes a reality. It's coming. It's coming. It is coming. It's here. Pandemonium. Hug a friend, hug a stranger, hug a tree if you must. This is the big time. It is a celebration inside the celebration. The reverse Matryoshka doll, a singularity larger than the main event itself. But if this were so, the event could not exist in the first place. For a singular event within a larger event to outshine its parent, it would need to burst forth with enough energy to obliterate the parent. That is not the intent of this box of rain. Quite the opposite. Embrace it as a fragment of a grand puzzle that will remain unsolved. You, my friend, are just as important a piece as the music. Remember this. We knew we were going to get more Phil than just those fantastic wristbands and a likable persona. He sounds more confident on version number 2. The world is lit up with pillars of hope. Green lanterns light the way toward a future we all aspire to. If the world could only feel a fraction of the love present in the room tonight, then what? Whatever it is definitely a fantastic sentiment as the year begins to awaken from winter's slumber, a winter still smarting from the collective shock of the space shuttle disaster. On cue, the sky cries for the common heroes cut down in their prime. It is filled with thousands of words, dates, and the names of people we will never know, carved into granite. It swells under the sheer weight of the rock before completely disintegrating in the sky, falling to earth and leaving a trail of white smoke, writing its final epitaph. Emotion overtakes us, and we cheer. We are here, and that is enough. We may be crying. It's okay, though. Crying never hurt anyone. The tears come from a place rarely accessed. We will tell everyone that this is how it happened during Box of Rain version number 2. Go ahead and end the set. The celebration will continue long after the band has left the stage, rising like a mist from the floor, imbuing the inhabitants of the spectrum with a collective feeling of positivity and goodwill. stuff it in your pockets, to be strewn about the city like a trail of crumbs leading toward the true seat of happiness.
We're going to take a short break.
Yes, they did. End of set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Be sure to tune in for the second set right here on Grateful Shows. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.